FMB.
San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money, Not Theirs. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future. Now, It's Your Money, Not Theirs on Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
All right. Good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer with 50,000 watts of power reaching not just San Diego County, but Orange County, L.A. County, up to Seattle on a good night out to the desert. And we've got a great show lined up for you tonight. Now it's time to introduce the main man of the hour, CPA and family office advisor, Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Joe. Good evening. We've got a really special guest tonight.
We do.
From our sponsor, UBS.
Correct.
And that would be David Lefkowitz, who came here all the way from Brooklyn. That's a long way to come to San Diego.
It
is. And now that he's here, he doesn't want to go back because we have nicer weather than Brooklyn has. And we're going to be talking about some really interesting things tonight. But we're going to let David sort of introduce himself. But I have one question for David. Well, let's start, David. Just tell us a little bit about yourself, your history, how you got to UBS, and what you do for UBS, if you'd be so kind.
Sure.
Born in a log cabin where?
I'm a Jersey boy.
Okay.
Grew up in Jersey and eventually made my way to Brooklyn. But, I sort of say I haven't actually had a real job. I've been working as a stock analyst for the last 17 years, covering lots of different sectors. So I've looked at utilities, I've looked at telecom, media, some energy issues.
But can we get back and start even with your educational background? Because I like to do that. I mean, you have degrees from University of Pennsylvania. That looks like, is that Wharton or is that?
Yeah. So one of my degrees, two undergraduate degrees, one of them is from Wharton undergrad.
Okay.
And the other one is a history degree. And I actually, some people have asked me, what's the connection there? Is there any kind of connection? And I sort of look at the world of investing. I like to take a little bit longer term perspective, sort of stand back from a lot of the noise that we often hear in the markets and try to stay focused on the long term, because I think that's the best way to really add value.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of how I kind of bridge those two gaps there.
Well, see, I became a CPA by majoring in English, so go figure. Yeah. But David, you've got a really interesting designation. You are a CFA, a chartered financial analyst, and I understand that's a very difficult designation to get because we don't have a lot of those running around on the loose in San Diego, for example.
Yeah, I always say it's a question of how much can you balance your job and studying for finals for seven different subjects at one time. And the good news is only pass or fail. You don't have to ace anything, but it does require kind of dedicating the time and putting in the effort. And it's a good program if people have the opportunity to take advantage of
that. But it's a pretty elite fraternity or sorority, group, wouldn't you say? I mean, from what I've read, it's a murderous test. How long is the test?
It's at least 6 hours, and you take 3 6-hour sessions over a 3-year period.
So 3 6-hour tests, so it's 18 hours of testing. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a lot of testing. I wouldn't want to take the CPA exam again, having passed it 30 years ago.
Yeah. Can we talk a little bit about the energy issue we got in today and how he mentioned how oil and gas do you want to start with that, Richard, or should we?
Yeah, good place. Yeah, for the listeners, we had breakfast this morning down at the University Club. David, myself, Joe, and a few other people. It was very fun, but David, you brought up a really interesting point in terms of comparing and contrasting oil with natural gas. Can you sort of follow on to what we talked about this morning in that regard?
And he gave the history of it, which, he's got a background in that.
Well, I want to hear.
Exactly. So, yeah, no, I think it's good to start with the history, picking up on where Joe was going with that. I think also just putting this in perspective, how I look at financial markets and where I look for investment opportunities, what I like to look for are relationships that are unsustainable. And when I look around the investment landscape now, one of the things that seems very out of whack these days is in the energy markets. And if you look at the price of oil relative to the price of natural gas, you see two very, very different stories. The oil story, probably everybody is painfully aware of how much we're paying for gasoline when we go to fill up our cars and trucks. And it just seems to go higher every year. But if you look at the natural gas markets, you see a very different story. You see natural gas prices that have really been in almost a relentless decline since 2008. And now there used to be a very good relationship between the price of a barrel of oil and the price of natural gas. It used to trade at about an 8-to-1 ratio, and that lasted for a good 15 to 20 years. And now that ratio has completely disconnected, and oil is exceedingly expensive relative to natural gas, and it actually now trades at a ratio of 50-to-1, meaning that it's much more expensive to get a unit of energy from oil than it is a unit of energy from natural gas. So the question that I sort of have posed to a lot of people and I've done a lot of thinking about is how sustainable is that relationship when one energy source is so much cheaper than another one? And I think this is an area ripe for a lot of changes as we go forward over the next several years. And the big question is, how can we take advantage of the low natural gas prices that our country has really found itself in sort of because of new drilling technologies, we've been able to really lower the price of natural gas. And I think that has a lot of implications as we go forward.
And you have sort of a contrarian view. You actually think the price of gasoline and oil is going to go down over time. And some people, you know, have other opinions.
It's, in my mind, this is classic. Sort of classic investor psychology is we get into these modes of thinking that people extrapolate the trends that we've seen over the last several years. And I think the oil markets are one of those where we've sort of become accustomed to paying more for gasoline every year. And that's been happening fairly consistently since 1998. 1998, oil prices were, they got as low as $8 a barrel. Clearly, they're much higher than that today. But if you look prior to 1998, they were basically stuck around $20 a barrel for quite a long time. It's the same kind of situations that we saw in the internet bubble, where people just expected that internet traffic was going to double every 90 days. That was sort of the mantra. Mm-hmm. It was the rationale for all this investment we made in the telecom infrastructure. And in hindsight, clearly, it was far too much investment. The same mentality was behind the housing market. Housing prices always go up. You have to be off your rocker if you're not investing in housing when things were going the right way. I see the same type of thinking when it comes to oil, and so that in my mind means that there's too much thinking in one way. Everybody is so convinced that this is going to be the way that the oil markets go. Now, so that's understandably, I get a lot of pushback when I say that I think there will be lower oil prices in the future. But I think one of the ways we get there is we start taking advantage of the lower natural gas prices that we have in this country today. And so putting some numbers around that, if we could fill up our vehicles with natural gas, it would cost us $1 a gallon.
Mm-hmm. How many cars on the road in the U.S.?
250 million.
250 million, yeah, okay.
So... And I think all we have to do to that point is we don't have to switch the entire fleet over to natural gas. But I think if we switch say 5% of the fleet over to natural gas or other types of it could be natural gas powered vehicles. It could be electric plug-in hybrids once the technology matures and improves for those types of vehicles. I think just switching a little bit of the fleet over into alternatives away from oil will begin to transform the way people think about oil demand. And right now, oil demand only grows 2% a year globally, even with China and India growing as much as they are.
What do you see replacing gas in the future? Because Boone Pickens said there's about 40 years of gasoline left. Oil left in the ground. What are we going to be powering our cars on in 100 years or 70 years or 60 years, or do we know yet?
Yeah, I think just to be clear, I think oil is always going to be a very important part of whatever fuel mix we have going forward. My only point, though, is that the high prices are beginning to incentivize people to try to find ways to work around those high prices.
Yeah. Okay, but we have to take a pause right now there, David, because we have a break coming up. So we'll be back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs in a few minutes.
Follow Glenn Beck tomorrow, 9 to noon.
The world is like a ship. When we move one at a time,
the captains of the ship aren't going to pay attention to you.
They'll pick you up one at a time and throw you overboard. But if we all move together and the ship moves, they're going to listen. There will at least be enough fear. Remember what George Washington said. When the government fears the people, there is liberty. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny.
Glenn Beck, tomorrow, 9 to noon. Talk Radio 760. KFMB.
Slider Crusaders, you've heard me talk about Newman replacement windows. If you're in the market for replacement windows or doors, you got to listen up. I'm here right now with the owner, Duncan Newman. Duncan, what is the Newman advantage?
We started this about 19 years ago, and I firmly felt that there was no service left in the construction industry. So my wife and I decided that we would start a company that would treat people like it was the 1950s again. My salespeople are told that when they walk up the driveway to a customer's house, if the newspaper's on the driveway, pick it up and hand it to the customer when you get to the front door as you're saying hello.
Duncan, that's awesome. How can Slater Crusaders experience this Newman advantage?
You can call us toll-free at 1-877-7-NEWMAN. You can look us up on the website at newmanwindows.com, or you can come to any of our showrooms. We have a new 10,000-square-foot showroom on Morena Boulevard at 1176 Morena Boulevard.
And Slater Crusaders get a free in-home estimate. Give them a call, 1-877-7-NEWMAN.
When it comes to dental procedures, there are always options. Take, for example, bone grafting. If you've been told you need this expensive work done, you should know about bone expansion, offered by Dr. Peter Helwig. This procedure works with your existing bone and expands it using a far less invasive technique. It also takes less time, there's less chance of failure, and it can be done for a fraction of the cost of bone grafting. You have options, and Dr. Peter Helwig can explain them all. He knows the latest and most effective procedures available and has been trained by and practiced with the top in his field. Join the hundreds of families in the San Diego area that trust Dr. Helwig with their smiles. He's been caring for them over 30 years. Call and schedule your free consultation to discuss your options today at 619-993-6505. You have a beautiful smile, and Dr. Peter Helwig has the latest procedures and treatments to help you keep it. Call 619-993-6505 and schedule your free consultation today.
When choosing a treatment for cancer, experience counts. As the nation's first proton treatment center, Loma Linda University Medical Center pioneered the use of proton radiation for the treatment of prostate, lung, and brain cancers. We treat more patients than any other center of its kind in the world. Nearly a fourth of all proton therapy patients are treated at Loma Linda University Medical Center. Nearly 12,000 in all. Over 1,000 last year. Unlike IMRT and tomotherapy, which use X-rays, protons can be controlled to start and stop in the body to deliver maximum radiation to the tumor. This increased precision leads to less radiation to surrounding healthy tissues. To learn more and receive your free informational DVD, visit protons.com or call 1-800-PROTONS. Loma Linda University Medical Center. Many strengths, one mission.
Follow Glenn Beck tomorrow, 9 to noon. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
We're back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs, with Richard Musio, CPA, and David Lefkowitz, CFA. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Thanks, Joe. So I want to thank our sponsors, in addition to UBS, who's in studio with us. I also want to thank Rich Gaines and Family Legacy Legal, the CPA firm of Polito Epic, CPAs, Don Epic and Paul Polito, CPAs. Certainly Carl Sheeler with Business Valuations Limited, and our newest sponsor, Regents Bank, Dan Yates and Sean Puckett. So before the break, we were talking about unsustainable relationships. No, I wasn't referring to 60% of the marriages in California. but rather the relationship between oil prices and natural gas prices. So David, if I read you right, you're saying that it's basically a 50-to-1 spread in terms of price, where historically maybe it's been closer to 5-to-1 or 8-to-1. you're not saying that the price of natural gas is going to go way, way up. You're just saying that that might go up from 2 per unit to 4 or 5 per unit, while the price of oil might fall if we can find a way to get people to move a little bit away from the use of oil into these other alternatives. Is that how I'm understanding it?
Yeah, that's entirely correct.
Okay.
It's hard to know exactly how the two prices will converge, but I just think when you've got such a tremendous disconnect, there are huge economic incentives. So let's put, I like to put some numbers around some of these statistics. But if oil prices went back to their historical relationship with natural gas, we would be talking about $1 trillion of savings for gas consumers, for oil consumers. And so that's, we're essentially, there's a shift of wealth of $1 trillion a year from consumers to producers because of this disconnect that we see.
Now, is it all producers, or is some of that going to some of the traders or speculators, or is it all going to the industry per se?
At the end of the day, it's those who are ultimately producing the barrel of oil. So I think all that really ends up in the hands of the producers.
That's a big number, $1 trillion, especially since...
is it still these days? I don't know.
I think, especially since the producers of oil don't really necessarily need that much more money. At least that's my understanding. They're already fairly well off. Okay, so that's significant. So what about vehicles that don't run on either natural gas or oil, but run, for example, on electricity or batteries? Do you think that's going to be a sustainable model for the future?
I think it's an interesting avenue. I think there's a lot of challenges we need to overcome. The biggest of which is battery technology. It still is early days in terms of trying to figure out how we get to a low battery cost that can charge in a time that everybody's happy with, or it makes it more viable. So there's definitely some hurdles to overcome in terms of that. So that's why I think looking at things such as kind of plug-in hybrids, where you can plug in when you're either at home or at your office, and then when you're not near a charging station, or when you run out of a charge, you can revert back to that gasoline-powered engine, and therefore that mitigates the other big drawback of electric vehicles, which is the concern about running out of a charge in the middle of nowhere, or even running out of a charge on the New Jersey Turnpike.
Right.
You know, I'm from Jersey, so I have to get in the New Jersey Turnpike at some point during the conversation.
I would imagine other commuters wouldn't respond too well to that if you're in the
right. So there are certainly challenges with the electric vehicle. That's why I think having a more flexible fuel or vehicle that can use more flexible and different types of fuels makes a lot of sense. The other thing, though, about the electric vehicle, or at least a car that can, or a vehicle that can plug into the grid, is think of the fuel diversity that we do have on the grid. We use lots of different fuels in order to generate electric power. We get 50% of our electricity comes from coal. Another 20%, now actually rising, more like 25%, comes from natural gas. And 20% comes from nuclear, and then hydro and is the bulk of the remainder, and a very small percentage comes from wind. But the point is that having that diversity of supply on the electric power side insulates consumers from big swings in prices in any one particular fuel source. So there are other benefits, not just in terms of lowering costs, but also potentially lowering volatility if we're able to take advantage of some of the alternate ways of powering our vehicles.
Do you see utilities transferring over to solar and on a mass scale over time? We talked a little bit about this morning. Do you see it as on the horizon? I mean, is the will there? Is the political will, the social
sure.
will there?
Yeah. Solar's big issue is cost. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just comes down to that. And it's still, I know here in San Diego, you know, we're getting to the point where solar prices are getting low enough, and especially because this is a great part of the country to be mm-hmm. taking advantage of solar power. There's a lot of sunlight here, a lot of hours of the day, and there's not a lot of cloud cover. But this is a fairly unique part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is really just the price of the solar panels. Right now, it's about twice as expensive to generate power from solar as it is from even from wind. And wind is a little bit more expensive than natural gas. So it's just we're just not there yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got to. But it's a silicon based technology. So we're riding cost curves down. There's a huge glut of solar panel supply, and that's driving prices further down. One of the issues, though, is that the installation costs of these things are actually fairly expensive, and that's a large component of the total cost. So there's still some hurdles that have to be overcome, but I do think that solar has promise. It needs to
refine and get the economy of scale has to kick in, I guess. Right?
Exactly.
So whenever I drive down to the desert and I see all those wind things, turbines. I think, well, yeah. I know, I go, that's Dr. Smith and that's Dr. Jones's tax shelters.
Right.
Because, you know, it's like I know the doctors who bought them 15, 20 years ago to, well, whenever it was, you could write off passive 30 years ago. I'd lose track of time. So, yeah, I know the physicians who did those tax shelters. But no, wind, we actually get a lot of wind out here on the West Coast. And I don't think wind energy has been exploited enough, but be that as it may. So, interesting stuff. My only concern about a plug-in car, like when my wife plugs in her cell phone, then she can't find where she put it in. She's like, where's my cell phone? So my concern is she might lose her plug-in car. Right. Did you see where I put the car right. when I plugged it in? Sorry, honey. But let's talk about investing in utility stocks, though.
Sure.
Just in general, I know that the typical reason to invest in utility stocks, or at least your traditional utilities, is because they typically pay a dividend. And they aren't necessarily as volatile as certain other asset classes because, in many cases, the utility companies basically have a monopoly over geographic regions.
Right.
Does that still hold true?
Yeah. It depends on what part of the country we're talking about, and the utility marketplace is really bifurcated. So in the Southeast. Part of the country, that is still very much true. You've got these integrated, what I call integrated utilities that are still regulated. They own the power plants, they own the transmission lines, they own the distribution, and regulators set prices. And it's, you know, pretty low volatility investment. Been relatively popular during the last 3-4 years because of all the economic and stock market volatility we've experienced. There are a number of other utilities that have been through deregulation. California has had a checkered history with deregulation. But in simple terms, what I mean by deregulation is that the power plants become deregulated and they sell power prices at whatever price they can get in the marketplace.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have to take a little break right now after news, sports, and weather. We'll be right back more with It's Your Money, Not Theirs. I'll get that all out.
We lead the conversation. Follow along. San Diego's talk radio leader. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
This year, we will face huge decisions with the upcoming elections. But when it comes to your vehicle repairs, there is no research or huge decision that needs to be made. Rapid Transmissions has been providing world-class customer service for over 41 years. Is your check engine light on? Is your vehicle slipping around town? Stop by any of Rapid's locations in San Diego, Escondido, or La Mesa, and they will diagnose your vehicle absolutely free. If they do find a problem, they will disassemble your transmission in their state-of-the-art facilities and show you exactly which parts need replacing. Today's transmissions have over 2,000 parts. Rapid does not want you paying for parts you don't need. Have you recently received an estimate from another automotive repair shop? Bring it by Rapid and see what they can save you. Backed by popular demand, Rapid is now offering a complete transmission service for only $69.95 on most vehicles through May 31st. Call now, 800-562-7675, 800-562-7675, or rapidtransmissions.com.
Point Loma Electric is the only company to call for all of your electrical needs. Mike Slater has been singing their praises, reading testimonial after testimonial from satisfied KFMB listeners that have made the call. If your home was built before 1985, it's very likely that your old fixed wiring is running on overdrive with all of the updated electronics and appliances of today. Point Loma Electric is the older home specialist. Older homes require electricians to crawl under the house and through the attic. While other electricians often cut large holes in the wall to run new wires and circuits, Point Loma Electric has special tricks for running wires through older homes without chopping open the walls. Point Loma Electric can fix flickering lights, tripping circuit breakers, silent doorbells, and faulty switches. They'll protect your home from power surges and overloaded wiring and install beautiful lighting. Point Loma Electric is up for the challenge. Who are you going to call when the lights go out? Point Loma Electric, 619-224-0672 or pointlomaelectric.com.
One little joint supplement. You know this powerful little pill is great for your joints? It's great for your cartilage. It even has powerful benefits to help increase your mobility and flexibility. But the joint supplements of today are sadly incomplete because they don't start relieving joint discomfort immediately. Until now. Introducing the complimentary 2-week sample of fast-acting Instaflex, our most powerful joint formula ever. It can start relieving joint discomfort in just a few days. The only thing our complimentary sample of Instaflex is missing is the price. Because right now, we're offering adults a complimentary 2-week sample as part of a nationwide giveaway. Call and claim your sample today. 1-800-500-1605. Great for your knees, hands, even your hips. Fast-acting Instaflex can start relieving joint discomfort in just a few days. Instaflex is available at GNC and Rite Aid, but you can only get your complimentary 2-week sample by calling 1-800-500-1605. Call now for your 2-week Instaflex sample, 1-800-500-1605.
Attention! Caribbean Cruise Line is giving away free cruises to the first 500 callers that register in your area. So get ready to write down this number and act fast. Hey, we know the best type of traveler is a repeat guest, and we're so committed to this philosophy that we're giving away free cruises to prove it. That's right, a free cruise to the Bahamas, including your cabin, all your meals, full spa, casino, live entertainment, 3 kids clubs, a kids water park, and more. Come see why we were recently named the best new Bahamas getaway cruise by Porthole Magazine. We're so sure you'll enjoy yourself and become a repeat customer that we're giving you the first cruise vacation for free. There's no catch. You're simply responsible for a small port fee and your cruise is free. It's over a $500 value. Call now. 800-364-3083. 800-364-3083. 800-364-3083.
We lead. You follow. They get out of the way. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
The Chargers are going to remember one of their own. I'm 760's Rick Williams. Here are the stories that we're following, and they're inviting everybody to come along. They are going to host a celebration of Junior Seau's life, and they do invite fans to come out next Friday evening. It's going on at Qualcomm Stadium. There's going to be free parking. Now, it's expected to be very crowded out there. Begins like 6:30 in the evening. Now, all the details are posted at Chargers.com and at 760KFMB.com. They'll have special guest speakers sharing stories and memories of the positive impact that Seau has made on them and countless others. And this past week, Bolts head coach Norv Turner said that Junior, well, really, he was just one of a kind.
He has had such a great impact on so many people. He will be missed.
Well, do it yourself this weekend. Build an outdoor fire pit with materials from RCP Block and Brick. Go to rcpblock.com and start your project today. In weather, mostly sunny and 63 at Lindbergh Field. And in sports, the Padres got swept 3 straight games by the Marlins. They lost at Petco today, 6-3. Follow Sean Hannity after Glenn Beck on 760 KFMB.
The CIA carried out a drone strike which killed an al-Qaeda terrorist on the FBI's most wanted list. This, according to military officials. Fahd al-Kusso had a role in the bombing of the USS Cole in the year 2000. Times are tough in Europe, but French President-elect Francois Hollande has promised more spending to boost the economy. BBC's John Simpson says those promises may be hard to deliver.
He's promising higher taxes for the richest in France, but he's promising thousands more jobs in the French public sector at a time of enormous debt burden in this country. He's promising to create 60,000 more teaching jobs.
Voters in Greece threw out lawmakers who installed austerity measures. Financial experts worry investors in the global markets will start selling stock, worried that the recovery plan could be put into jeopardy. A racetrack worker killed at Churchill Downs in Kentucky. Louisville police are investigating the death as a homicide, though they won't say how the man died there. I'm Brad Wheelis, ABC News.
Follow Sean Hannity.
If the government can't organize a 2-car motorcade without a stop at a brothel, do we really want them in charge of health care?
Tomorrow, noon to 3, 760 KFMB.
We're back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs with Richard Musio and our guest David Lefkowitz of UBS. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Thanks, Joe. So we were talking about deregulation.
Yeah, and you wanted me to ask that question.
Oh, yeah, you had a great question. Joe, you just ask it. Go ahead. Because you were stumbling there at the end, so you didn't get back on track here.
I was so flustered before the break because I wanted it. This was going through my mind. I was thinking about Enron and the electricity mess we had here around 2000, 2001, and how everyone's prices were going haywire due to the deregulation. No one really could figure out what was going on, and there wasn't much help coming from Washington at the time, as I recall. But my question is, can that happen again, or have we repaired the markets, or have we done something regulation-wise to prevent that?
Yeah, great question. There were a number of flaws in the way that the regulators designed deregulation. So what happened was retail prices were capped, and investors in power plants were not getting the right price signals in order to invest in new power generation facilities. And California got into the situation where it ran short of power very quickly. And as a result, and that's when Enron actually sort of compounded things and did some things that everybody knows were not the most upstanding.
Yeah.
Became a big fiasco. So we've gotten some of the regulatory issues corrected, and certainly it's very unlikely we're very good at correcting past mistakes. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to make that mistake again. But deregulation has pluses and minuses. It means that there'll just be in general more volatility around prices. It could also mean that there are lower prices at some times, but it also will probably mean that there'll be higher prices at other times. So it sort of depends on sort of the mix of, what kind of risk do you want to take?
Mm-hmm.
The advantage of the fully regulated model is that you have a lot more price certainty.
Yeah, I mean, that was the idea of a state-regulated monopoly, but that would kind of build in some kind of stability over time, and obviously we lost it there for a while, but let's hope it's back. So anyway, thank you.
So on a related theme of getting income from investments, the high net worth people that I hang around with, income is very important to them these days. However, I think interest rates are going to stay really low. So what do we do about that?
Yeah, great question. I think a lot of investors are grappling with this very issue, is that interest rates have been low, and I agree with you, Richard. I think they are going to stay low for some time. So how do investors generate income from their portfolios? And I think it makes sense to look at alternatives to traditional income-paying securities. So people think of fixed income and think of bonds as their primary way of generating income. But I would suggest that there are parts of the stock market that can fulfill those needs in terms of dividend paying stocks, and especially dividend growth stocks, which I think look particularly interesting in this environment. There are also a whole host of other types of income paying vehicles, whether it be master limited partnerships or real estate investment trusts. But I think it does make sense to begin to look outside traditional fixed income markets to try to find some of the higher yields that are on offer outside of the fixed income markets.
Well, yes. I mean, the U.S., the 10-year Treasury just sort of reset to about a 2% yield.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, who would take on that 10-year risk to get 2%, I guess, is my question.
Yeah, I do think that they're especially if you're in a bond fund where you're not necessarily holding to maturity, there is certainly a growing risk that as interest rates rise over time, you're going to see some fairly big movements in negative movements in terms of your capital. You mentioned that 2% income or 2% interest rate, that's now the rate on the S&P 500 in terms of a dividend yield. And we've got to the point where dividends that are paid by the stock market are now equivalent to the kind of interest income that you get from the bond market. And the big difference between stocks and bonds is that there are not a lot of differences, but one of the big differences is that the income you get in the form of dividends will grow over time as earnings grow, whereas the income you get from bonds will not grow. That being said, there are clearly it's a more volatile asset class, so you've got to be aware of that. But we haven't seen dividends be dividends be at these at this level relative to interest rates since the 1950s. And I think that there are some changes and implications of that in terms of how people think about their portfolios.
Yeah, and further, I think a lot of companies are in a position to pay even more dividends than they are, I think, because of the uncertainties in the income tax laws. I think a lot of companies are just sitting on tons and tons of cash. I suspect there's more cash on balance sheets than there's ever been in the history of our country, right, with publicly traded companies, I suspect.
Yeah, I mean, there's never been more cash. Yeah, as cash as a percent of assets is also pretty elevated. There's no doubt corporations are sitting on tremendous piles of cash. And we're starting to see dividend payouts begin to rise. Apple is sort of the poster child of that. It used to be sort of anathema for a large growth company to pay a dividend, and I think a lot of the large companies are beginning to break that taboo because they're being rewarded for it in the marketplace. As they offer these dividends, they're seeing investors bid up their shares, and that gets the attention of corporate management. So I think we're going to begin to see more and more of that cash get distributed to shareholders in the form of dividends.
And what do you think the likelihood is of the Bush tax cut being sunsetted? That is to say, the 15% rate on qualified dividends going up to something higher in 2013 and beyond? High, low, or in the middle, probability wise.
You're asking a very difficult question, and it depends on
Nobody I know will answer this question.
it depends on the outcome of the election. Certainly, our colleagues in Washington, who are studying and looking at this very closely, they think the most likely outcome is that whoever wins the election. There's going to be in the lame duck session after the election, there'll be a blanket extension of almost all the tax provisions for at least 6 to 12 months to give the new Congress time to try to figure out this kind of Gordian knot problem of all these tax rates going up at the same time, and we have to. You know, we have the long-term budget deficit, so we've got to get our arms around. How do we equitably try to weigh the balance of spending cuts and tax increases and on who and what types of income? And it's a very difficult question, and we know Congress has not had a good track record of addressing that. But I think it's fair to assume that we do see somewhat more higher rates on passive income, on interest income, and dividend income. But I also think you have to measure that against what interest or tax rates are going to be on alternatives. What's the tax rate going to be on capital gains? What's the tax rate going to be on ordinary income? And I don't think anyone in Congress or the White House wants to see a shock to the system and a rapid rise in tax rates that really would have the potential to send the economy into a tailspin. That's a part of what Europe is going through right now. Part of these austerity measures that Germany has been so adamant about putting in place, they have really exacerbated some of the problems that we're seeing in Spain, in Italy, in Greece, sort of the poster child of this. Those higher tax rates that Germany and others have been calling for have really crimped growth in the economy.
Yeah, and we have a related issue here in California, which is that it looks almost certain that tax rates are going to increase here in California at the state level, just because the budget deficit is so extreme here in California. There doesn't seem to be any other way out.
Can we just back up one second, though, because about capital markets and lending, I mean, the word on the street is it's very difficult to get loans today, or a lot more difficult. So wouldn't that make you think that the cost of money, the price of money, would be going increasing? And apparently it's not happening. Or is my logic flawed?
Yeah, I think there's this. There's the demand for loans, and there's the supply. Banks are certainly sitting on tremendous cash reserves, and so there's plenty of supply. They've been a little bit reticent about lending it out, and that's very typical behavior in a downturn. Lending is very pro-cyclical. You get more lending at the top of the cycle, and you get less lending at the bottom.
I mean, if I was Apple, I'd open up a bank and start lending some of that money.
right. But I do think that as consumers are going through this deleveraging phase, or put it in very simple terms, just a phase of paying down debt, there's less demand for debt. And corporations are really, as we've been talking about, flush with cash. They have less demand for debt as well. So there's aggregate in the economy, less demand for credit.
Okay, good. Well, we'll get more into that when we come back. We'll have to take a short break. We'll be right back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs.
Follow Sean Hannity.
I'm not really worried about this election.
Tomorrow, noon to 3.
All the indicators I see show that Barack Obama's going down in defeat. It seems that the Republican National Committee, and they're exuding confidence. And all the negativity and anger is coming from the left. You know, it's a sign of desperation on their part. I'm pretty confident, to be honest. Governor Romney has grown a lot. I think he's going to be a great candidate, and I believe he'll be a great president.
We lead the conversation. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater, and I want to tell you about Zero Res, because everyone has that blemish on their carpet that you're trying to hide, right? That stain where the dog decided that this was a good place to mark his territory, or the place where you spilled your coffee, or where your kid spilled a little spaghetti on the couch. But you can have the carpets as clean as new when you call Zero Res. Your carpets are going to be brighter and cleaner than ever before. And because Zero Res is the only place that uses empowered water, there's no sticky, crunchy chemical residue left behind. The carpet feels better when they're Zero Res clean. So call Zero Res today for the 760 KFMB special. You get 3 rooms, pre-treated, cleaned, sanitized, starting at only $129. And while they're there, have them clean your tiles and your furniture like they did mine. I had a great couch. Now it's bright white again. 858-486-4100. Give them a call. 858-486-4100. Or you can book online at zerosandiego.com.
I believe I can do anything. So when it came to learning a new language, I knew I had to do it the way I learn. No books, no memorizing or translating. I wanted to learn the same way I learned my first language, naturally. That's why I chose Rosetta Stone.
Rosetta Stone invites you to be a part of its biggest language learning event in history. Because in 2012, we want to help 3 million people learn a new language. That's why we're going to give you an absolutely free demo of our language immersion technology. To participate in this free nationwide event, just call 1-800-644-1129.
Si yo puedo hacerlo, usted puede hacerlo. If I can do it, you can do it.
To participate in this free nationwide event, call now for your free demo from Rosetta Stone. Call 1-800-644-1129. That's 1-800-644-1129.
Diabetes and high blood pressure go hand in hand. In fact, 60% of diabetics have high blood pressure. High blood pressure can lead to heart disease and stroke in many diabetics. You can effectively manage your high blood pressure the same way you manage your diabetes, by testing. For a limited time, Diabetic Health Agency is offering a free 2-in-1 monitor that checks both your blood sugar and blood pressure. That's right, test your blood sugar and blood pressure at the same time when you join our program. This special offer is available to diabetics that have Medicare or private insurance. So now you can get the state-of-the-art blood glucose monitor and blood pressure machine in one device delivered to your home at little or no cost to you. If you're a diabetic and you're covered by Medicare or private insurance, call the Diabetic Health Agency today and get your free 2-in-1 monitor. 800-819-8329. 800-819-8329. 800-819-8329. That's 800-819-8329.
Roger Hedgecock.
Follow me every afternoon, 3 to 6 on 760 KFMB.
We're back for our last segment with It's Your Money, Not Theirs, with Richard Nuccio and David Lefkowitz. Welcome back.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks. Good to be here.
So, David, you can't give advice on the air about what stocks to buy, certainly. But let me just ask this really general question. In terms of companies that you're looking at and the analysis that you do, what kind of companies are you looking at that you think are opportunistic, and what kind of things are you looking at that you think people maybe ought to underweight or sort of move away from in general terms, not mentioning names?
Sure. I can definitely kind of address some of those issues. So within the utility space, there are two specific areas that I think are particularly interesting. One of them revolves around transmission investment. And transmission, when I say transmission, these are the high tension wires you see along the highways that deliver the power from the power plants to where people live. And as people probably remember we had a, well, at least I remember because I was in the midst of it, but there was a big blackout in 2003. Which really knocked out the most of the Northeast in terms of electricity. And that was a bit of a catalyst to get the regulators to begin to allow companies to really open up the purse strings and invest in upgrading the transmission network. If we had a more robust transmission network at the time, we wouldn't have had the cascading blackout that we saw.
You're talking about the grid, right? Is that the same?
The grid, exactly. Okay. Exactly. So there are a number of companies that have made this a big part of their business and are very focused on building new transmission lines and upgrading the existing ones that we have. And so we've got, not only do we need to add capacity to the grid, but we also have all these wind resources that we've been adding. So we've got to build the transmission links to get those wind resources to the market. So there's a tremendous investment opportunities. Some companies, they're small, they're niche players, have been really taking advantage of this. And so that's one of the areas I would look
at. We've been undergrounding a lot of transmission cables in San Diego. I know in La Jolla, you know, they're removing from the poles and putting them under the ground. So I don't know if that's an investment.
Yeah, that's part of the story too. And kind of perversely, that, you know, putting things underground is actually fairly expensive. But the way regulated utilities work is the more you spend, the more money you make. Actually, so for some of these companies, that actually is a good thing. Another area within the utility space, which is interesting, is some of the companies that can take advantage of, we talked about low natural gas prices. There are a lot of merchant power generators, or a number of merchant power generators. These are companies that own power plants that are deregulated, so they can sell their output at whatever price they can get, that are gas-fired. And they're sitting with capacity factors. They're running their plants only at 40 or 50% of capacity. And these low natural gas prices are enabling them to really ramp up the amount of time that they're running their plants, because the output from their plants is now more competitive versus coal and nuclear. Mm-hmm. So companies that have unused gas-fired generation are in a good good place, and a couple of these companies trade at discounts to replacement value. In other words, you can buy a company that's focused on gas-fired generation, and in fact, it's actually cheaper to buy that stock than it is to go out and build a replacement to the assets that it has. Mm-hmm. So there are some of those opportunities are also interesting within the utility space. The one area that I would be a little bit more careful about is just your plain vanilla regulated utility. It's going to be very sensitive to what happens with interest rates because of all the volatility we've seen in the markets recently in the last few years. A lot of investors have moved into this area of the market. Valuations are pretty expensive relative to other parts of the overall equity market. So I think you want to be a little bit careful. And if we ever do see a backup in interest rates, this is one of the areas of the market that will certainly come under pressure.
Do you see solar coming online as a huge element of utility electricity development? Now, there's I won't name the company, but there is one right here in California. They've got a portfolio of 2,000 megawatts of solar PV power. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. And, I mean, we're talking huge developments.
Right.
San Francisco International Airport, completely covered with solar. But what's your opinion on that?
Yeah, so I mean, the issue that solar has to overcome is the cost, mm-hmm. and it's they've been making progress on it, and we're continuing to make progress. I think, you know, I made the comment earlier, and, you know, it's kind of a little bit hokey, but, you know, really all of our energy comes from the sun. If you think of what fossil fuels are, it's plants that died, and, you know, they were harnessing the energy from the sun, and then died, and so over millions of years turned into a more usable form of energy that we put into our vehicles and industrial equipment. So ultimately, all the power that we use and consume does come from the sun, and if we could find a more effective way of using it directly, that makes a tremendous amount of sense. But the cost is still an issue. If you look at our mix of where we get our power from as a for a nation, for the nation, we only get 0.1% of our electricity from solar. Mm-hmm. It's a very small fraction.
Which means there's room for growth.
There's room for growth. That's true. That is true.
And getting to one other source of power we haven't really mentioned, nuclear, isn't our infrastructure there sort of antiquated in most cases?
Yes. Yeah, I would say that it's certainly old. Nobody thought the nuclear plants would be running as long as they have been running. But I think it's important to emphasize that there's nothing unsafe about the power plants. They've been through a number of upgrades and license extensions. But at some point, they will get to the end of their useful life. And we do get 20% of our power from nuclear. And it will be an important conversation to for the country to determine, well, how do we replace those power plants? Right now, there are parts of the country that are pursuing new nuclear development, even after Fukushima. So there are companies in the southeast that are building new nuclear power plants. But other parts of the country are going to have to decide within the next, you know, sort of 10, really, because we are getting towards the end of the useful life of these things. Within the next decade, what do we do about some of these aging nuclear facilities?
And we're getting close to the end. I want to just ask one question, a little bit different than what we've been talking about. I know consumers have done a pretty good job of reducing debt, but government certainly has not yet done so, or maybe government hasn't even started.
Correct.
To the extent that government doesn't start soon, is this going to affect the recovery? I mean, it's going somewhat slowly, the recovery, but if government doesn't start doing something, is it going to really, really slow things down?
I think there's a couple of different ways that I think about that question. I think one of the things that I find extremely frustrating from an investor perspective is that there is no certainty of tax code in this country. It's almost you know, it's kind of laughable that we have this tax code that I would say is kind of ad hoc. Makes it very difficult to plan if you're a business owner, even if you're a consumer. You don't know what your long-term benefits are going to be in terms of health insurance or retirement from Social Security. Getting more clarity around some of those very long-term issues, I think, would go a long way to unleashing some of the cash that is sitting on corporate balance sheets. And even consumers have done a good job of repairing their balance sheets and retiring a lot of debt. So I'm hopeful. I have to say my hope has been dented and is not as strong as it used to be a year or two ago, but I'm hopeful that we do get some people in Washington who are able to making some progress on that. At some point, there is a limit to how much debt we can sustain as a country. I don't think we're close to reaching that limit. One of the other things I think is important to bear in mind is that we all know how much federal debt there is out there, $15 trillion, and we saw the debt countdown, the downgrade clocks and all that. But consumer wealth is $54 trillion, so it's still much higher than the federal debt at this point.
Well, David, we have to wrap it up right there, unfortunately. But thank you so much for being here from New York, David Lefkowitz and Richard. You have a great week.
You as well, Joe. Thank you.
I will. And then, there is some hope. UCSD does produce about 88 to 95% of their own energy, so there is some hope out there. Thank you to Scott Love, our technical director, to Craig Blanke, our account executive, and to Dave Sniff, our programming genius. Good night. Have a good week.
So you might be stressing about what to get mom or your wife for Mother's Day. Well, I got an idea for you. Massage Envy. Massage Envy has 23 locations in San Diego. Swing by and get your mom or your wife the gift of relaxation. You can get your mom or wife a healthy skin facial or a stress-relieving therapeutic massage. And when you buy a gift card, you're entered to win a mom's day off. Here's what it is. If she wins, she and three friends will be whisked away in a limo for a customized therapeutic massage session at Massage Envy, lunch at the Shores restaurant in La Jolla, and while she's away, a maid service will come by and clean the house. Can't get any better than that. So skip the stress of Mother's Day and stop by a Massage Envy today. Buy your mom or your wife a gift card and enter to win this Mom's Day off. And while you're there, why not get a massage yourself? You deserve it. Go to massageenvy.com for the clinic or spa nearest to you. Massage Envy. .com.
We follow the story. Then we lead the conversation.
Junior was Superman to us. He was a great leader. He was a great person.
Follow the leader. 760 KF.